You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Hi, I'm Holly Randall, and welcome to my podcast, Holly Randall Unfiltered. This is a show about sex, the adult industry, and the people in it. I'm a 21-year veteran of this fascinating little industry, and as the eldest child of the trailblazing erotic photographer Suze Randall, you could say I grew up in it. So forget everything you think you know about porn, because this show is going to change your mind. My guests are some of the biggest names in the industry, and we unabashedly reveal the real behind-the-scenes stories. The funny, the inspiring, the tragic, and the bizarre. Everyone has an opinion about sex work, but few people actually listen to the sex workers. So sit back and prepare yourself for a podcast which is honest, raw, and unfiltered. Welcome back to Holly Randall Unfiltered. Before we begin, I want to give a shout out to my sponsors at Blue Chew. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. You can try it for free when you go to bluechew.com and use code Holly. Just pay $5 in shipping. Okay, so my guest today is at the height of her career, and she decided it's best to go out on top. Last year, she was nominated for several AVN and XBiz awards, including Performer of the Year, and won the XBiz Performer Showcase of the Year. Now she is closing the chapter on her successful time in the porn industry and is here to tell us all about it. Welcome, April Olson.
Thanks for having me, Holly.
You're so welcome. Thank you for being so patient with all the technical issues and all of my fuck-ups on the intro, which, you know, the general public will never see.
Holly, I don't care. Not a single bit. Also, before this, you also showed me your boobs, so how can I
do that? I did.
But I'm glad you did that, because now I feel like I'm more calm.
Right.
We're on an even playing field.
So, to be fair, I needed her opinion on how this bra fit, because, like, the dress sags a
little
bit.
To be fair, that's how she greets her guests.
Yeah, I was like, hey, what do you think of my tits? But yes, you know, I don't know. In my head, I was like, she's not going to mind.
No.
It's like, I'm not like showing it to her. I'm just asking her opinion.
You asked my
opinion. Like, they happened to come out of my dress. I couldn't get the bra on without taking the dress off. So there you go.
I almost saw a little bit of a slip, but I think we're okay.
Okay, so, all right.
The show will go on. There we go.
The show will go on. Whether or not my bra is showing.
Okay, yes, I was at the height of my career. That's funny you say that. Because I was kind of dabbling a little bit. Mm-hmm. Is now the right time to go when I'm still pretty popular?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like looks-wise, look the best too. But I think I might just have to dip and say see you later.
Okay. Well, we're definitely going to get to that part.
Okay.
But I do want to start at the beginning.
Yeah.
How you got into the industry in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. I graduated college first, so that was – I did check that off my list, but I think I got into sex work pretty quickly after I graduated because I needed money.
Can I ask you what you majored in?
I jumped around to several majors.
Okay.
I was like early childhood education and then social work for a few years. And then the social work program really put me out because constantly they were harping on how little money you would make for how much work you'd put out. So
yeah.
That wasn't really a good motivator for me. So I did end up dropping that and ended up with a psychology degree.
Okay.
Took me 5 years. For a state school.
I mean, college was fun. I kind of miss it.
I don't think I had that great of a time.
Really?
I don't think I had fun at all. I think, yes, there was a lot of drinking, partying, but I wasn't really myself back then.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So, okay, so you decided to get into sex work because you needed money.
Correct.
Did you have, like, student debt and all that kind of thing?
Yes, yeah, still do. Actually, just this month, I think they're reinstating the payments. Yeah, I had student debt, but really I had a hospital bill that was kind of over my head that I knew how to pay. It was like $1,200 because I didn't have any health insurance, and $1,200 at the time for a college student in Missouri, and it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So I poked around on the internet and pretty quickly became comfortable with the idea of webcamming.
Okay.
I didn't have the confidence for stripping.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's a lot. You're going out on stage in front of a bunch of people. Like, webcamming is in your own bedroom.
Yeah, it was in my spare bedroom. I set up my laptop on some books and, like, every lamp in my house, I would just kind of, finagle into something like this. And, but quickly, I had a fan who bought me all the lighting equipment and all the sex toys come with it. It was like almost instantly someone bought me all new shit.
That's so sweet. He's like, I want to help you out. That's great.
No, it's amazing.
So this hospital bill that you had, I just want to ask, is it related to the sex-related injury that you had that landed you in the ER?
Yeah, kind of my big catalyst into sex work. Yeah, well, I had this boyfriend at the time, and I think my body knew to break up with him before my head did. So my pussy was very dry when we were having sex, and I think that led to an inflamed cervix or something. And yeah. So you really can't. I was clinically too dry, so... We broke up shortly after.
Wow, this would be a great opportunity for me to do a throw to one of my lube sponsors, but I don't have any.
Oh.
Missing out. What a great segue.
Come on. I could have used a hand for sure.
That's funny how what you said about your body, because I have to say that I don't think I've ever told this story, at least in public anymore. But anyways,
this doesn't count.
Let me be very vague so nobody can pinpoint who this person was. But I was with somebody for a significant amount of time who I was having a lot of pain when we had sex. And I went to my gynecologist and they did all these tests and said everything looks fine. And then he sat me down and he goes, do you like him, this guy that you're with? And I was like, what do you mean? And he goes, because there's something wrong with you. And I have a feeling that maybe you just don't like him and your body's like, like, you know what I mean? Like reacting a certain way. I was
yes,
motherfucker. Because I didn't. Like I had actually been trying to break up with him for a long time.
Oh, absolutely.
And he like wouldn't let me.
Yeah, no, your body is fighting against itself.
Yeah.
But you're experiencing a little cognitive dissonance. Sorry, Miss Psychology degree over here. But yeah, your body and your actions aren't matching up. So one or the other is going
to
suffer.
Yeah. I mean, that was like a revelation to me. I was like, oh, that was, you know, that like my emotions could physically manifest themselves in that way.
Big time.
Yeah. So anyways, it's interesting that you said that.
Be careful where you put your energies, I guess.
Yeah. So you got this medical bill.
Yes.
Because you were too dry.
Clinically, yes.
Clinically too dry.
And inflamed and red.
Because you didn't like your man. So you have this crazy medical bill. And so you're like, okay, I'm going to start webcamming.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then a fan bought you all the stuff you needed.
Correct.
And where did you go from there?
From there, I broke up with this guy, moved into my friend's grandma's basement. She was also living there. And that's where all the webcamming was going on. It was in her Nana's basement for 3 months.
Did Nana know?
Nana didn't know. Nana was in a nursing home.
Oh.
Nana is now long gone, RIP, but now she knows because she's dead.
Right.
What I was doing in her basement, her family basement. It's okay. And I was very respectful, and I kept it to my own corner, and I never touched any of the family heirlooms or anything like that. Those were all hidden.
Right.
But make no mistake, the first 3 years of my sex work career took place in Nana's basement.
It kind of sounds like a show or something like that.
It was definitely cute as hell.
Yeah.
You know, it was a little dusty, musty, but I don't know. I felt like she was watching over me. You go, girl. But get out of my house. So quickly after that, it was only for 3 months, so then I moved to New York, and yada, yada, yada.
So how did you, like, what was your first webcamming experience? Like, were you nervous? Did you find that it was easier or harder than you thought? Like, tell me a little bit more.
Not so nervous. I definitely liked the camming, I guess more like streaming part of it, where you're just chatting and chatting with these people in front of you. Mm-hmm. I think when I was a teen, I used to kind of pop around on Omegle. Are you familiar with the website?
Mm-mm.
Really? Like Chat Roulette, Omegle.
Oh, Chat Roulette, I know.
Yes. Yeah, same family there. Okay. And maybe do a little flashing. Not good. But it is kind of a canon event for all millennials, I think.
Yeah.
The spicy ones. Omegle. I wasn't too nervous about showing my stuff. And honestly, I kind of liked it. And I loved the money that I was making from it. Most money I've ever made in my whole life.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, what surprised you the most about webcamming?
I mean, just before that, I was only waitressing. I was just a server for like 6 years and I loved it. And I could take the same skills that I loved about waiting tables, which is being chatty and whatever, and then taking it to camming, condensing it into like 2 or 3 hours and making four times as much.
Mm-hmm.
It appealed to me.
Yeah.
It did something to my brain.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Like, oh, this is fun and easy. not easy, but easier.
Easier, yeah. So then how did you make the jump to porn?
The jump to porn started, okay, I moved to New York, and yes, I was going to be, continue to webcam, and my big grand plan was to find a sugar daddy to help supplement my income. That's not going to work.
Did that not happen?
That's not efficient enough for me. That seems like a lot of time to get with one man. To
make, right.
Whatever, whatever. So it wasn't my thing. Then I started doing OnlyFans. Mm-hmm. Made more sense in the long run.
Mm-hmm. And this is when?
COVID.
Okay, so this is when, like, OnlyFans is actually really starting to take off.
Yes, I was a pandemic batch.
Right.
Of, yeah, performer.
And how was that for you?
How was that? So I had, in the beginning, I had a business partner, we'll mm-hmm. call him. You know, sometimes in the beginning of your porn career, there's these men that pop up.
Yeah, we call them suitcase pimps.
So that was him. And we made some very popular videos on the internet. Forced by cuckold stuff, pegging, like crazy shit.
Oh, so he was very into niche. Like some kinky stuff.
I mean, he let me fuck his ass as hard as I wanted to. That's why my form is so good, Holly.
Ah.
I didn't like this guy. Not one single bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, he would let me. He would bottom for me. And I would just absolutely go in on him. And so that's how I got my form down. And where I started to really like wearing a strap-on and using it. So that was kind of my niche for a little bit.
Right, strap-ons.
Yes, strap-on stuff.
Which is...
Or spy cuckold, whatever.
Which is honestly, like, I will say, like, strap-on sex is actually not easy to do.
Not easy.
And I struggled with shooting those kinds of scenes for a while because you have to have, like, the quality of the strap-on matters a lot. Like,
yeah.
You know, like those shitty old ones with like the leather belts or just plastic, like it doesn't hold it in place and it like moves around a lot. And then also like the quality of the dildo, like it can't be too hard. It can't be too soft. Like
I've used the same strap-on and dildo my entire porn career. I kept it the same brand from New York Toy Collective. And they're the best of the best because it really is a part of you.
What are they called?
It's the jock strap harness.
Uh-huh.
By Spare Parts.
Okay.
And then the dildo is from New York Toy Collective. You can get both things from there.
Okay.
Okay, free shout out alert. But yeah. But it's true. They're the best. And you want to give your bottom the best quality of dick.
Yeah. Because it's like, it can be uncomfortable.
It can be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It wasn't uncomfortable with this suitcase pimp guy, but
right.
I made him know that I was there. I wasn't pussyfooting around.
And then also like, even just the, like you said, your form, that's where you got your form.
It's
I
all
mean,
the
even
form.
Just like, how you thrust your hips matters.
Yes.
Like there's a lot to
if
strap
I can give
on.
One tip, just don't even look at the dildo when you're inside.
Okay.
Because that can kind of take away from your connection with your bottom.
Ah.
Because you know and your head's down, it doesn't look good. Just keep your eyes ahead.
Okay, got it. And also too, I mean, you know, when you're wearing a strap on, obviously it's not your own penis.
It's not your own
penis. I know guys like to look at their own penis when it's going in and out because you know, it's. I think
the
they're
visuals.
Like, good job, dude.
Yeah. Definitely.
You're doing great. You look good down there.
Yeah, yeah. This reminds me of some performers, some male performers I work with. I swear, if they could put just a mirror over my face and just have them just look at themselves, it would be the same thing.
I was talking about that with my friend Mike Quasar the other day, and we were talking about some guys who, like, we were like, I swear, because you know how sometimes when guys fail or they're failing, they'll go into the bathroom with their phone and they'll watch porn. Even though they're shooting porn, they'll go and, like, watch porn on their phone
so
to get
meta,
hard again.
Experience.
Which is, yeah, whatever. We were talking about, like, this one guy specifically. We're like, just put him in front of a mirror and he'll just get hard looking at himself.
Yeah.
Just chuck it off.
Any nearby mirrors.
Oh man, you know what? I wish that I loved myself that much. I actually hate people ask me a lot why I don't do porn, and I'm like, I don't even like looking in the mirror when I'm having sex, like much less looking at it on camera and letting everybody else see it. Like,
yeah, like, I got to the point where I'm like, I'm over the sex tapes.
Yeah.
I think I'd like to keep this to myself now.
Yeah. So you were doing scenes with this guy. Yeah. When did you do your first, like, pro scene?
My first pro scene was for, get ready for this, backroom casting couch. So classic. So classic. Close classic. And it was, of course, anal scene. And I didn't realize at the time that maybe performers save that for a couple years.
Oh, it
charge a big sum of money for your first anal.
It was your first anal.
My first anal and my first pro scene, period.
Wow.
But it's cool. I did it. And I think it helped me kind of get into that little niche, the little anal market.
Right.
Because then quickly after, Adriano saw what I was doing, mm-hmm. hired me a bunch. And then from there, I was able to move from New York to LA.
Right.
So it all happened just because I think the anal kind of helped my career.
Right.
Because
right.
I didn't know the right people. I didn't know about how to reach Speakler or whatever. At the time, I was in contact with them. But I still just, I don't think I had enough to really be super popular if mm-hmm. I didn't, yeah.
So you, I'm assuming you were doing anal before that scene, right?
You'd be assuming. Wrong, Holly.
Oh, wow. No. You know what they say when you assume, you make an ass out of you and me.
Yeah, mine too, yeah. It was
no pun intended.
Yeah, that was kind of my first go with it. But he had a kind of a very...
Wait, hold on. It wasn't your first anal scene ever?
That, yes.
Wait. I mean, sorry, not scene.
I would like
experience.
I would practice. Okay, one time I had a first date and we were drinking some wine. Uh-huh. And this was when I was camming and I started, you know, I was experimenting with my butt a little bit. So I'm like, you know what? Here's a new trick that I learned. Why don't you just go ahead and fuck my ass? But so that was maybe the one experience before that. Maybe experimented with some dildos, plugs and stuff, but yeah.
But really, you were kind of like an anal virgin before you went and just did it.
Yeah, I figured it out pretty quickly.
Wow.
Yeah, there's some trial and error as far as, you know, prep and stuff. But I got it down.
Yeah. So
I was kind of known for my efficiency. Like, oh, April's on the set. This is going to be a quick date, even though it's anal. No surprises.
Okay, so I just want to go back to that scene really quickly. So when you got the book, where did you find, like, the job?
I was on Twitter trying to make a little name for myself, and an agent approached me.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he offered me $2,000 to do the shoot, and it was in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother was like stationed there for some training. And so after my first shoot, we like got dinner together, and it was like really positive and kind of awesome. They picked me up in like whatever, it was like Rolls Royce, whatever. You know, I was a little bit more naive at the time, but I thought mm-hmm. that's a nice touch. I feel safer.
Yeah.
Because it was pretty lush appearing.
Right, right, right. And that's actually a decent rate for an anal scene.
I agree. I mean, it's more than what a girl would be getting paid now regularly.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's maybe Chechik's, or was her rate. And that was still like astronomically high.
Yeah.
So it wasn't terrible. It's not like an $800 scene for anal, but
yeah,
it's cool. I don't feel any sort of way about it. I'm not upset.
Right. So you mentioned that it took you a while to get like the prep down.
Yeah. Because there's no manual on how to do it.
You know, there is a manual. It's called Joanna Angel. And when I was dating a guy who wanted a lot of anal sex, I called Joanna Angel. And I know she's like tutored a lot of girls.
Yeah, I had my version of Joanna was Rebel Rider. Do you know Rebel?
I know the name.
Blonde chick. I mean, just like such a sweet looking angel. Mm-hmm. And then you don't even realize that she can take three huge dicks in her ass at the same time. Maybe even four. So she was my spirit guide a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think like sex work is like one of the last group of people who like pass information on through words and mm-hmm. like, because you know no one's writing this shit down and mm-hmm. passing it on. But I just, you have to actually ask someone. Okay, so I asked Rebel how to do everything, and yeah, she gave me
also like an oral history. I'm just thinking when you said it was like one of the few that. Like communities that orally passed oral traditions,
yes.
I think is like what it's called when you think about, you know, like ancient civilizations who maybe didn't have written language.
Still going on in porn, and it's asking how much Imodium should I take? Is Imodium even necessary? No, not for me.
So yeah, so tell us about your anal prep, because people are always curious about this because it's okay. Different for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, girls, listen up. Get a one of those big red bags, you know, those you can use them for hot water or whatever.
Hot water bottles,
yeah. And they have the big hose attached.
Yes.
And so you'll do at night before you're seeing a nice nightly cleaning, which is kind of probably just a one full bag.
Mm-hmm.
Get some rest.
So hold on. Do you put that whole full bag up your butt before you expel, or do you do it in bits?
Bits. Okay. Because you'll start to feel full.
Yeah, because I was like, that's a lot.
Yeah, but I don't even know if this is the right way to do it, because come to find out, many, you know, now I'm starting to realize, oh, maybe I had some digestive problems because I was cleaning too deep and mm-hmm. everything was just kind of getting settled up here. And so now I'm kind of dealing with fixing it a little bit. So I don't know if the way that I did it was the right way.
Yeah, because also there's good bacteria in your gut that you might end up washing
and
out.
I think I did that one time because I had, terrible vomiting. So I don't know. It's tough. It's hard. Yeah. It's like really, really hard to do anal consistently on camera because it's a lot on your body. And not just the act of, getting fucked in the ass. That's nothing. Okay, it's just all the stuff beforehand. That's hard.
Yeah. So I think this is actually kind of why it's not written down, because it's different for everybody.
Everybody.
What works for one person might really fuck another person's body up. So it's like, it's hard to be like, this is what you do, because it's like.
Yeah. My rule of thumb was to just leave the toilet water clean before I left the house. And then I would feel like we'd be set on set. No
right,
surprises.
Right, right. Gotcha. Okay. So you clean out the night before and then the morning of.
Yeah.
Do you eat? Are you one of those people that doesn't eat until after the scene? Or
no need to starve, but yeah, I probably wouldn't eat because I didn't want to feel bloated.
Right, okay.
And then whatever they ordered for lunch, I would absolutely be chowing down the second the scene was over.
The second the scene was over.
In fact, it would be the only thing that I was thinking of
right
during the scene.
Yeah. Can't wait for that fucking Chipotle.
Mendocino Farms. Sweet Green.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny whenever I shoot an anal scene, I always, especially if it's a part of a feature where there's a couple of other scenes and dialogue, I always try to plan it so that the anal scene is first.
Yeah.
Because the last thing I want to do is make a girl come to set and then work all day on an empty stomach and then not be able to eat until after her anal. I did that with Brittany.
It's okay.
Me.
We have a generator of names, so pick a month, pick a season.
Brittany, oh my God, she's been on this podcast. I love her. I've shot her a million. Thank you.
Amber.
Fuck. I'm sorry, Brittany. Please don't hate me.
This is the first Brittany I thought of. She's awesome.
I was like, I had Brittany Andrews stuck in my head because I think I just saw something from her. She's also great. She's also been on this podcast. But Brittany.
Amber.
I shot a scene for her. With her for DP, Digital Playground. Mm-hmm. And we didn't shoot the anal scene until 6-7 o'clock at night. And that poor girl didn't eat all day.
Yeah.
I felt so bad for her. And after that, I was like, I need to schedule these better.
It's just, there's a superpower in us. We can just kind of, all women have it, we can just suck it up until we need to. And it's fine. It's no big deal, but you're sweet for now thinking for your performers. But are you on set anymore?
I haven't directed a scene since January.
Nice.
So yeah, no, I haven't been. I mean, that doesn't mean I won't go back to it. I've been shooting some solos and stuff, like art stuff for my book here and there, just because I'm kind of not bored, but I miss it. But yeah, I haven't directed a scene in a while.
Yeah.
I produced a movie recently under my own production company, actually, Hopeless. Go check it out. It's on hollyrandom.com.
Cute. Lumi is in it?
Yes, Lumi Ray and Casey Calvert.
Cuties.
We actually were supposed to drop it today, but then Jeff wanted to do another editing pass, so we're maybe tomorrow. It's actually up, but we're getting a better version that's coming out. The 4K is what I've been waiting on. Anyway.
Kind of step away from the project.
There was a filter thing that went wrong. He was right to fix it. He's a perfectionist, and so am I, and I want the best version of it to come out. It's just been kind of funny.
We love Jeff.
We do love Jeff.
There's no
beef. There's a reason that I decided to produce this film and let him write and direct the whole thing.
Yeah.
So anyways, what the fuck was my point?
So
that was the last sex scene set I've been on. And I wasn't even directing. I was just the producer and actually just the photographer. I was just taking on set stills. It kind of felt like I was hired on someone else's set. It was kind of funny.
That is fun.
But yeah, no, I haven't directed in a while. So
I'd say you're not missing too much. I don't know.
It's there's a part of me that misses being on set. I mean, I love the crew that I work with. I haven't been able to meet a lot of new talent, which is kind of a bummer. I'm kind of out of the loop a little bit on that. But
I know if you're not actively in these studios and you have no idea who's coming and going.
Yeah.
It's such a revolving door of people. It's kind of nuts.
Yeah. So, to be honest, I've been working on other stuff like this Metaverse project, and I'm pretty excited about that. So I don't know. I feel like it's not like I won't come back to it, but I was kind of ready to change direction for a little bit.
Yeah.
But anyways, this is not about me.
Oh, yeah.
This is about you.
I was just about to ask you about your kid, too.
Well, I mean, okay.
Kid's cool? Yeah. Wait, quick kid break.
Okay, quick kid break.
How's your kid?
You got a baby. Yes.
She
is so adorable. She is turning 3 next week.
That's crazy.
I know.
I remember running into you at TTS, and I think she was in a stroller, or maybe you just even had her.
Okay.
There's been 3 times that I've almost met you, Holly, and I cursed myself. One time, we were supposed to shoot. I got gonorrhea. That was on me. That was my bad. Second time,
you act like you like purposely went out and like that. That shit just happens. It's not your fault.
It wasn't my fault, but it did happen, and that was on me. Second time, I think doctor's appointment that you had, and then the third time I saw you at AVN, but you were consoling a girl that was crying in the bathroom. I said, "I walked." Remember that?
Oh, I do.
I walked in and said,
"Her dog ran away.
Her dog ran away, but came back.
But came back.
Yeah.
So everything was fine. Thank God.
Thank God.
Yeah, I felt really bad.
So I've always just kind of missed you.
Well, here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are.
Surreal.
So, enough about me.
Okay, that was our kid break.
That was our kid break. I mean, look, at the end of the show, I got like a lot of photos. If you want some unsolicited baby pictures, she just started ballet. I got like pictures of her in a tutu.
Like a little human.
She's so fucking cute. Wow. And also like, she's a toddler. She's a terror as well.
That's okay. I mean, you knew that it was going to happen.
I totally knew that was going to happen.
Okay.
She's a lot like my mother, which is kind of scary.
Yeah.
Because my mom is crazy.
Crazy.
But in a good way, sort of. Anyways, okay, let's get back to you. We all know Adam and Eve is the one-stop shop for everything sexy. And now, with my code Holly, you can get any one item for 50% off, plus 10 free gifts. And you'll even get free shipping. So spice up your sex life at adamandeve.com, but only if you use code Holly. You know, you did your first scene. It was anal. And you eventually signed with Spiegler, who you said you were actually talking to at that point.
Yeah, when I was living in New York, we were emailing.
And how did that go down, and what was your experience like with him?
How it went down, let's see. About 5 months into moving to LA, he basically said, you have to live near Woodland Hills or I won't sign you. So I did. I moved to Sherman Oaks. Mm-hmm. And so then I moved to LA. 5 months later, Spiegler has me on his roster. And then, yeah, we killed it for like a year and a half. We had a great relationship. Eventually, I had to leave because it came down to OnlyFans money. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to keep all of it and not give it to them. So, unfortunately, we did have to break up.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt that was a totally necessary move. I don't have any beef with them. Mm-hmm. Definitely not. And I don't know. I'm really grateful for everything that like Spiegler did, and he got me on to some amazing shoots and kept me busy for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
working as much as I wanted to. So yeah, that was amazing that he did that. But eventually, like, I feel like maybe as a performer, you grow out of needing an agent. Mm-hmm. And it's not always something that you have to put up with. You know, you give them a lot of your, I don't know, just a big chunk of what you make, and for what? Forwarding a call sheet? You can maybe do it yourself.
Yeah.
I know they have a lot of connections and they're a huge gatekeeper in the industry, but once you move past it, then maybe you can walk away.
I think it depends on the girl too.
I know.
Because some girls are well organized and they can do their own calendar and they can like test on time and they can read the call sheet and do all. Some girls can't.
Yeah.
Like they need an agent to be like, this is the day you are working, to call and remind them to test, to like send them like not, I mean, some, you know, honestly, like a lot of times, like they just won't read the call sheet.
Right.
So you have to send them just the part that matters to them. Like, this is what to bring. This is the time to come.
It is also helpful to be on a roster.
Yeah.
Because when the companies are booking girls, they'll just kind of.
That's what I do. That's, I mean, especially like when if I have a cancellation.
Yeah.
And Spiegler was like the first agency I'd go to because I knew that like one of the rules with Spiegler was that like you had to be ready to work and you had to always be tested.
Yes.
And you had to answer the phone.
Yes.
So it wasn't a situation where like, you know, before I might call another agent and they're like, oh, let me see if she's available. And then it takes them an hour to get back to me. And they're like, she's not available. And I'm like sitting on set waiting for someone. Like with Spiegler, I know I can get
someone like
that.
Spiegler model works. It certainly works.
Yeah.
And that's why he was the best. He also wasn't like, you know, sexually weird towards the girls. Okay, let's just start there. Like, thank you for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard anybody, you know, people have had complaints about him. No one's perfect and everybody's got like their whatever, but I've never heard anybody say that like he was sexually inappropriate in any way, which is not something that you hear about a lot.
Let's talk about agents,
especially these days.
Kind of bullshit. I heard that. I was so mad.
Yeah.
Ouch.
So,
yeah, speaker, all good. I was glad that maybe we split up
mm-hmm.
because I was able to be more independent and kind of get a feel of what that was like,
mm-hmm.
like not so scared to hold, you know, like I would for about a year and a half, I would text Spiegler every movie that I was going into just so he knew that for an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, like I was going to be unavailable, but don't get worried. Don't panic. Yeah. So yeah, it's kind of a fun thing that I picked up on.
Yeah. I've heard that from several girls.
Yeah.
Like if they're going to be unavailable for any period of time, they like have to tell them.
Okay,
it's kind of funny.
Just going off the grid for 1 hour.
So you mentioned your brother. What was your relationship with your family like? Like, how did they react to you getting in the adult industry?
My brother was always my guy, my number mm-hmm. one. Like, so supportive. And honestly, just kind of nonchalant. Like, he doesn't care.
Yeah, he's like, do whatever.
Yeah. I've always kind of been like that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Mom is kind of a don't talk about it situation.
Yeah.
So we don't talk about it, but we still are in contact.
Mm-hmm.
Dad, no contact.
Mm.
Not my choice either. He kind of just stopped texting me back.
Once he found out you were in porn or before that?
It's like he's the parent that I chose to come out to and be honest, and it totally backfired in my face. And that's going to happen sometimes if you choose to go down this industry, and you're just going to have to make peace with the fact that everyone is going to know. Everyone's going to see it, and you're just going to have to be okay with that. And you're going to be okay with other people's reactions,
yeah,
too, which was hard.
Yeah.
So dad is no contact, but hopefully he comes around. I laugh because otherwise I'll cry. I'm just kidding. No, it's okay. Don't make that face. It's okay. It's okay. On the other hand, I have an amazing mother-in-law who is, like, so amazing. And she asks questions about my work, and she's like, she's curious about it, and she's respectful. She's made me porn costumes before. I had like a little Powerpuff Girl thing that I wanted to do, and she sewed up costumes. And she's just like very sweet like that. So mm-hmm. So I've got three completely different feelings, but I understand it's not easy for everyone when their daughter decides to do porn.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
I totally get it. I'm reasonable.
Right. So you have a husband.
I have a husband.
Is he in the industry?
No, but we have made videos together.
Okay.
Yeah. We were quite popular during COVID. He would let me peg him, which was really sweet. And he's like not even like a bottom guy. He just let me do it.
You know what? Girls, get yourself a man who will let you peg them.
he's amazing in every way, and also kind of nonchalant about what mm-hmm. I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a detached way, but in a, yeah, just a supportive
yeah.
type of thing. Also kind of, I think, why I'm quitting porn.
Mm.
I got married and it changed me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Married. So we are getting to that point in the conversation.
I just want to talk about it because I also have pictures to share.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is definitely like the apex of the conversation that we were leading to. So I feel like this is a good segue.
April's quitting. But I didn't want to make like a big announcement, but I do want a little bit of closure.
Okay.
This is my closure.
Okay. So tell us like what led you to that decision, because I'm assuming it's not something that like happened overnight.
No, definitely not. My quitting process started definitely the second that I walked onto a set. I was thinking, okay, how are we going to get ourselves out of this? I thought I was going to do a 5-year plan, but it ended up being around 3, which mm-hmm. I'm okay with. And
so you never planned to stay in the industry for a long period of time?
No. My motivation was just to make money and get out.
Get out?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Hey, there's no shame in that.
No.
Right?
I mean, that's what we're here for, is to fucking make money, right?
Make some
I mean,
money.
Like, that's what a job is.
I was like a small town girl from Missouri. I gotta get a little creative, you know, with my moves here. Wait, what were we saying?
We were talking about you getting out of porn and your initial 5-year plan that turned into a 3-year plan.
It's now a 3-year plan. Okay, right. I think it started in January. So I had this time without Spiegler where I was just self-booking, and that mm-hmm. was cool and everything. And then that kind of started dwindling a little bit because, you know, you're not on the roster. So now you have to go blah, 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 reach out to people.
Yeah.
Okay. So now I'm going to shift towards just doing my own productions, my own OnlyFans stuff. And then that kind of then, so it's from no studios to my own productions to, okay, only working with a certain amount of people to only filming with just myself and then to ultimately just no more at all. So that's kind of where I'm at now. My last shoot was a Twisties True to the Month.
Oh,
kind of hoping you would be there, Holly.
I know. But, I'm sorry. I that was the last gig that I did back in January. That was like, I was like the main photographer for like a decade.
It's okay.
I know. I'm sad, actually, because that was like the one gig that I loved. But
it's okay.
Anyway. Okay.
So my quitting process, it started when I first started, which was like, okay, how are we going to get out of here? And then I just had to like dwindle it down to something I was comfortable with. Because I think if I were to just quit everything completely, I would have been too shocking and I would have been scared.
Yeah. So you're at the stage now where you're only shooting solo stuff for your OnlyFans?
I even stepped away from OnlyFans.
Okay. So you were like...
I'm like done.
Done.
This is why I feel like I can actually have like a maybe like a free conversation with you, because before I was trying to just also be like April and how to like on podcasts, how does she even sound? Like it's, I felt like I couldn't really be myself because I had to be a different version who was like, I don't know, cock hungry or something.
And yeah,
maybe that was actually never me. I'm fine without it, you know.
Yeah,
I'll miss the ladies though.
I mean, ultimately, like you're creating a fantasy, right? So it's okay if you're not that person. Exactly, like, you know. But, I mean, it depends on whatever you're comfortable with. So now you feel like you can come on and you can be yourself and you can say, like, you don't have to be worried about anything that's going to damage your career.
Right.
Because you're done.
Because I'm done.
Right.
I don't have to worry about, like, offending a large group of men who think that maybe, I don't know, their feelings will get hurt if I'm not, like, super horny all the time.
Yeah.
I'm actually not horny ever. Sometimes. In the mornings and then it fades off during the day. But that's it.
So how did you, like... prep yourself for scenes then? You just kind of, did you just go in there with like a workhorse mindset? Like, I'm just going to do the positions. I'm going to make the noises. I'm going to do the faces. Like,
I think so. I think maybe I was kind of a bad porn star in that way because I did keep it pretty clinical. I mean, I never even considered kind of loving up on my scene partner beforehand. Mm-hmm. Like, I never wanted to connect with him that way. I just kind of wanted just to get down to it. But that doesn't mean that I was like ever rude. I think there's a way that you can warm up your partner without touching or even being sexy, just being friendly to somebody. Mm-hmm. I think that's all you need to do and then get to work on the scene when the cameras are rolling. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I wasn't ever super horny, but when I was in the moment, I was definitely in there. Might as well. I'm already there.
Right. Might as well enjoy yourself.
Fuck it. So yeah, but yeah, before that, all business.
So knowing that, like, you got these awards and, you know, that you were at the height of your career, that didn't make you think, oh, I should give it another year? Did you really feel like, okay, I'm on top, like, I'm going to leave now while I'm ahead?
I did kind of, yeah. I felt, first, I missed my shining star moment. When, for the XBiz, I won an award or whatever. And they called my name, but I wasn't there. Oops. I was visiting my brother. He just broke both of his ankles.
Ooh.
No one wants to hear it. No one cares.
That's not good.
But so, yeah, I kind of missed that moment. And
did you win? Is that the one we won Best Showcase?
Best Showcase for my April Knows Best, which is my favorite body of work. And that was kind of that was the height of April for sure.
So who accepted the award for you?
I don't know. I got like a video for someone who they just kept calling my name. I was like... I don't know where that award is. It would just take some space in my house. I don't know.
So you don't even have it?
I don't have it. I don't know where it is. I sent an email thanking them, but no one ever got back to me. So it's okay. It's all bullshit. It's okay. So that was my peak there.
Wow. So what are you going to do now?
Holly, I found the perfect job for sex workers, former and current. I've been doing intimacy coordinating.
Okay. Like for like mainstream films.
Yes.
Okay. Tell us
about that. But
not just
films, also like music videos, short films, like just, anything that requires two bodies or more bodies coming together to be sexy or whatever type of story they're trying to tell.
Mm-hmm.
They'll just hire somebody to facilitate that.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. It's perfect. I'm having so much fun.
How did you get into that?
Luckily, I have a friend in film who does intimacy coordinating, And she's been so forthcoming with all the information. Every type of certification that I need or workshop or whatever, she lets me know. She hooks me up.
So you do need an actual certification for it?
Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that SAG is requiring, even though there are some companies out there who will try to make you spend $6,000 to $7,000 to be certified, but you don't actually need any of that to work. Mm-hmm. You can just – I think it just comes to networking, honestly, mm-hmm. and just getting on set.
So how often do you do that?
I've been – so since I've
– I mean, I know we just had a strike, so no one's been working. No one's been working, before that.
But there's still stuff going on. You know, there's mm-hmm. still – music videos and yeah and
yeah that aren't part of the yeah, yeah aren't part of the union,
so it's not impossible, but I wouldn't say it's the best time to break into the film biz right now, but mm-hmm. It's okay. Neither was COVID for porn. Actually, that's a lie. It was probably really good.
Yeah, it was a really good time.
Actually, that's a lie. So yeah, I've been working on set. It's really cool. I had a I was on a music video and they just needed, like, the guy was Punjabi mm-hmm. and so he wanted to make this dance that he had with this beautiful model look like, you know, really sexy. Mm-hmm. And, but he's, you know, he has these religious affiliations that make him maybe a little more modest. So mm-hmm. it was just so rad that they hired me to, you know, kind of spice it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, you mean the porno shuffle? You mean touching your chest to your hips to uh-huh. your thighs? Like, yeah.
The porno shuffle. That's a good name. That's so true, too.
Follow the camera. Work towards the camera.
So tell us, I mean, tell me like a little bit about exactly what you do. Like, how does that work? So do you sit down with the actors first and like talk about what the scene mm-hmm. needs? And then do you guys like choreograph something beforehand? Like yeah. how, take us kind of step by step if you can.
There's definitely a little choreography with it. Every set's different, of course, but yeah, typically it would start with a conversation on boundaries. Mm-hmm. We'll do a little check-in to see exactly where they can be touched, where they cannot be touched. We talk about it. We show it on our bodies. And, yeah, from then it's either – depends on how much the director wants me involved. If they want me just to be there on standby to, like, make sure people are comfortable, or I can be a little bit more involved and help choreograph, like, where hands go, mm-hmm. like, if you need more breath or touch or whatever – yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So there's like an element of making sure everyone's safe and comfy, and then actual choreography mm-hmm. and getting the movements down. Mm-hmm. Just depends.
Is there anything else that you are thinking about getting into, or do you think that this is like going to be your career path?
I think production is absolutely where I'm supposed to be. I didn't know about it until I got into porn, and I, you know, every blue moon, there's like a crossover where adult and mainstream come together. Mm-hmm. And I always love those moments because I could see how a set is run. Not that I wouldn't see it on porn sets. I would get a version of it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little bit more condensed. But I loved seeing it on these mainstream sets. And so I think until intimacy coordinating keeps me as busy as I want, mm-hmm. I'll just keep PAing. And mm-hmm. I'm an awesome PA, Holly.
I bet.
It's fun. It's fun.
And you learn so much being a PA.
It's awesome.
Like, I mean, that's a, you know, and I know a lot of people that started there and are like top line
yeah.
commercial producers now yeah. and making a fuck ton of money.
So I'm fine with paying my dues.
Yeah.
I'd certainly not have a problem with that.
Do you think that you're leaving the door cracked a little bit to potentially come back, or do you think you're definitely not coming back?
I think I am definitely not coming back.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty stubborn in my own head, so this is my decision, and I'm sticking with it. But I did just want to say like a quick goodbye to my fans before I totally peace out.
Yeah. No, I was gonna say actually, you know, we can, as we wrap this up, is there anything in particular that you want to say to your fans that are listening? Kind of farewell.
It is. I'm so thankful that anyone would want to watch me have sex on camera, like, and to buy my videos. I mean, that's incredible. You've completely changed my life. I have a different life now. Like I before porn, my trajectory was kind of whatever. I think mm-hmm. I would have been a receptionist, maybe at like a Toyota dealership. I think that would have been my vibe. But now I don't know. I've been able to actually follow my dreams, dare I say. And mm-hmm. it's because of porn. It made my life better.
Yeah.
And so thank you to my fans who let me do that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And yeah, thanks. Shit's different now. It's different. It's awesome.
Do you feel different?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like more free?
Yeah. I feel like I can be myself again.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even know who that was before porn because I was so self-conscious and depressed and I just kind of wasn't a good version of me.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you think that's because you were in porn or that was just like the place that you were in your life?
That was before porn. That was okay. Just like me not being happy about the environment that I was in, mm-hmm. and kind of feeling a little helpless about what to do. How do I get out of it?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but you know, I took a chance and it paid off in a major way. And my life is exactly where I want it to be. It's awesome.
What advice would you give to any other girl who might be considering getting out of porn?
Getting out?
Mm-hmm.
Save your money. I know save your money, pay your taxes. That's something we should have been doing from the beginning. If you haven't done it, that's okay. It's not too late.
You can set up a payment plan with the IRS.
Pay your
But you are going to have to pay your taxes eventually. And I say that to every single girl who doesn't fucking pay their taxes because then I get the letter from the IRS telling me not to ever give you any more money.
Yeah, which is no problem.
So I know who doesn't pay their taxes.
I made my husband pay off his back taxes before he proposed to me. So it's possible.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you can't. Absolutely, you can do it. I mean, look, like I get hit with some crazy taxes. I pay my taxes every year, but sometimes like I got to go on a payment plan. I'm like, dude, that's so much money. Like I'm, you know.
No, I feel like there should be a state park like in my honor with that much fucking shit that I've given this state of California with nothing.
Yeah.
And also, okay, my advice, if you're thinking about getting out of porn, don't get discouraged and don't listen to anybody saying that porn is going to leave this horrible strike on you as your person or in you and your future career. Like it's not, I mean, unless maybe you're going to be like a politician or a school teacher, you know,
mm-hmm.
but, don't get it discouraged. Don't listen to maybe men in the business who want to keep you in longer because that's how they make money.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of cut it off and you do you, girl.
Yeah.
Porn has been such a superpower in my life. It made everything better. And so, I don't know, to be able to use that in a different world.
Yeah.
Rocks.
I think also too, like you said, you picked the right career to kind of transition to because I do think, and I've definitely heard stories and talked to girls who've tried to get out of porn and get other jobs and the stigma blew them out. But these are like corporate type jobs or like nursing. You mentioned politics, that might definitely be a problem. But
you
I mean,
get a little creative, I think.
Yeah, but working, I think, in production,
it's no problem.
Like production's production. I think people generally don't care that much, especially these days. And also,
the way you get jobs too, it's like no one's going to see your face right off the bat.
Right, right.
They're not going to fire you when you get there because you used to do porn.
Yeah, especially for what you chose to do. It's almost like you're the perfect person because your job was having sex with other people on production sets. So if anyone knows, like honestly, it's like all intimacy coordinators should be porn stars, really.
Know. It's perfect, I know.
So it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe just don't get discouraged, girls. There's a beautiful rainbow.
Yeah. Follow your heart. And look, if you ever got to come back, you can always do a big comeback and make a lot of money on that too.
Yeah.
So that's fine.
The reunion
episode. Yeah, you know, like people leave and they come back and it's all good. Like
that's what everyone's been saying. They're like, just keep it kind of open. I'm like, okay, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and look, even if you're like, I know girls who've been like, fuck porn, I hate it. Sucks. I'm never coming back. And then they come back and they're fine.
I know.
And everyone like forgot what they said.
We just needed a break, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, April, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, Holly. This is a full circle moment for me. If I may, I used to listen to every one of your podcasts before I got in the industry. Like your whole catalog. And I would take notes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And so thank you for all your, everything that you do. I mean, having these conversations with people it's everything for us girls. So thank you. Yeah. You deserve it. You're kind of like you're like a porn mommy, you know.
A porn mommy.
You are.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, just like you said, like the porn industry has been really good to me, and it's like it's a real community, and
it's
I feel very protective over the people that I work with. And
yeah.
I just started this podcast because I wanted like people to know how awesome the people are that I work with. You know what I mean? I feel like they didn't have a voice. It sucks.
I mean, so many incredible freaking people. I'm gonna miss them, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah,
but we're not dead. Like I'm still very much in LA.
Still, I could be friends.
I could text Quasar at any moment and say, "Let's go get some sushi," and he'd be thrilled.
He loves sushi. That man does love sushi. All right. Well, I mean, if it's still relevant, do you want to tell people where they can find you on social media? I'm like, wait a minute. Like, are you?
I have nothing to promote. I'm actually a leech of a guest right now. I have an Instagram. It's disabled currently. I feel so free. I have a TikTok. Let's promote my TikTok.
So wait a minute. Did you disable your Instagram?
No,
or did
they? No.
Oh, okay.
It was by the grace of God.
Okay.
He disabled.
Thanks, God.
I think every 6 months they like do a sweep and then you have to pay $800 to get it back.
Yeah.
So it was just one of those things.
Okay. So TikTok?
TikTok at not April Olson. So.
That's the only one?
If you want to email me something business related, aprilolson@xxx.com @gmail.com.
Fantastic. And you guys can find me at Holly Randall on Instagram and on Twitter. Go to Holly Links to access all of my social media platforms. Like I mentioned, go check out my new movie, Hopeless, that I produced with my good friend and director of photography, Jeffrey John Hart. He directed and co-produced and wrote it and shot it and edited it. Stars Lumi Ray and Casey Calvert, and you can find it on hollyrandall.com right now. Thank you guys so much, and I'll see you next week. Thank you so much for listening. Your support means the world to me. A great way to show your love is to rate and review my show, and an easy way to do that is to go to ratethispodcast.com/HRU, and you'll be directed to the various podcast apps your device supports, and then led to where you can leave your review. And if you can afford to financially support this podcast, you can do so for as little as $5 a month at patreon.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered. This is where you'll get access to the live streams of my interviews, bonus Q&As with my guests, access to my fine art photography and behind the scenes of my shoots, free memberships to my Not Safe for Work website, hollyrandall.com, merchandise such as stickers, mugs, and hoodies, and so much more. You can watch the video versions of these podcasts at my YouTube channel, youtube.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered. Join us every Sunday evening for episode premieres where you can chat live with myself and other HRU fans as we watch the newest release together. You can also follow the show on Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. All of my social media links are at hollylinks.com.